Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome, everybody. This is Major Mike Gary, your host for the Whistleblower Report, and this is a military segment the morning after, early morning after, the confirmation approval of Pete Hegseth as the new Secretary of Defense. Been waiting for this day for 4 years. Unbelievable that we're finally here. So we're going to be discussing this. This is going to be a straight-through program, about 30 minutes or so. There will be no break, so there's just one half to this. I want to thank everybody that supports the Truth for Health Foundation, particularly the donors that have helped with our legal recipients with your funds. Again, your funds were put to good use to save military personnel, especially uncover the fact that there was no FDA-approved product. Your funds did that in a military administrative separation board for Lieutenant Bill Moseley, which I have a letter here from him that I will read part of it. So in his administrative separation board, your funds proved that there was no FDA-approved product. It was only experimental. Like the new SecDef says, experimental shot. Okay? So out of the gate, I just want to let everybody know that I am not representing the military in any shape or form. I am representing my own personal opinions, my studied, researched opinions on these matters that we're going to discuss today. And as you know, I'm a Seaburn officer with 27 years of service. I'm currently in the Army Reserve, had to go there to escape the main Army National Guard from persecution. That's no exaggeration. That's a real thing because I'm still currently under security clearance investigation. I have nearly 16 years of hazardous material Seaburn response. Seaburn, again, being chem, bio, rad, nuclear. And you may hear my phone going off in the background because I'm not the only military guy up early in the morning after the approval of new Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. So my apologies for that, but that's what's going on right now. A lot of us military guys talking about the accountability to come. So I can't wait. I just want to, for the audience out there, I was talking with my trial defense lawyer that I had for my 15-6 investigation, which essentially took my full-time military career away from me. And if we go step back, rewind back into the time, and we go back to that late 2021, which would be like the fall time frame, shortly after the mandate from the previous Secretary of Defense, you know, Darth Vader, as we call him. When that came down, the pressure was immense to happen. And I went, it was less than 2 months after that mandate that I was under an investigation, which is called a 15-6 investigation. And something that happened in between those 2 months, so a month after, was my first religious accommodation request was rejected. So less than a month after that was rejected, the chain of command came after me because they felt that they finally could do this in a way. And they did it by way of a patriotic sticker that was 1776 with Roman numeral 3 above it, which stands for 3%ers. So this apparently was on some list that these are dangerous domestic extremists. And like the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, who had the cross on his chest, I had that sticker on my coffee mug. It was one thing that I failed to clean up out of my office was that, because it was old, it had been on there previous to the Biden administration, so it had been on there since like 2017-18 time frame, and it was a worn out sticker. But they opened an investigation on me because of that, discovered I didn't do social media, and they really had nothing to call me an extremist because they were looking for extremist type phrases on social media. Well, they kind of had to drop that allegation, and you know, then they had to expand the investigation for with other allegations against me. So it was kind of awkward at the gate. Of course, at the time, I was just put off in a corner and had little information to work with. These are things as the investigation unfolds, these things you learn. But at the moment, you don't know this is going on because they've got you segregated. They had me away from troops and everything else, which was their goal. So it's just kind of interesting that the Secretary of Defense, my apologies for kind of laughing and giggling here, but the Secretary of Defense was called a domestic extremist, so was I. And I've personally wrote him a letter, which I'm going to read for you guys. I certified mailed that, and it should be waiting on his desk unless somebody sabotages it. But when I went under this investigation, getting to the point here, right, this morning, I sent a note to my trial defense lawyer. And this almost brings tears to my eyes because I had to convince my trial defense lawyer that the shot was unlawful. You know, so I had to win over my own lawyer in this 15-6 investigation to even, like, stand a even fighting chance. And of course, as the investigation unfolds over months, I earn his trust, and then he totally believes me. He understands that I am lawfully correct. But that's where I had to start from. I had to win over my own lawyer, because he told me out of the gate when we first talked, no, it was a lawful order. And it didn't sound like it was going to be favorable for me. So it was very concerning. You know, that's how I had to do it. But in a text this morning, so some of the dinging in the background you've heard, is he said this to me. He said, you know, I asked him how he was doing. I said, hey, I'm looking to bring accountability. And he says, you were right about everything and they were wrong. Okay. I mean, to hear that from my lawyer, and we haven't talked probably for a couple years, is amazing. But this guy ended up representing more people than just me from Maine, because Maine had a very tyrannical way of going after soldiers. I wasn't the only one, I was just the senior one that they had to make an example of. And so he had to defend many Maine service members. So he knows that retaliation was a real thing up here. And so that's why I was kind of asking him if he would, you know, testify in the future or whatever, give supporting documents, whatever is needed. And he said, sure thing. So anyway, I just want to kind of share that. Now, let's go back to the confirmation last night. That came down to a 50-50 tie, the tiebreaker being the Vice President J.D. Vance, right? So it started at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I pretty much watched the whole thing. I watched it as the senators would come up to the desk and cast their votes, usually with a thumbs up or a thumbs down, depending on which way they're going to vote, nay or yay. So anyway, you know, we get down to these Republicans, these three Republicans that are not going to follow Trump's mandate or his agenda. And one of them is from my home state, is Susan Collins. And I never bothered to even try going through her office as a whistleblower. I just went right straight over to Ron Johnson's office because Susan Collins has always been a part of the previous administration's agenda. So, you know, it'd be a waste of time to even try to say, hey, there's this system out there, VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, and there's Mainers in the National Guard being hurt by the experimental unlawful shot. So I didn't even bother waste time. I do believe what I'm going to do is send a courtesy letter over to her office now and let her know that I have several reports to Senator Ron Johnson's office. By the way, they have reached out to me. We haven't actually connected yet in a phone call or a video conference, but there's been a lot of emails back and forth. A representative of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee has reached out to me to attempt to set a time to talk, but I know the Senate is extremely busy, so that has not happened yet for me. And I'm hoping, like for the previous DMED, Defense Medical Epidemiological Database, whistleblowers, that they will be brought back to testify or whatever needs to be done to help Pete Hegseth in his new position as the Secretary of Defense deal with the injuries that are inside the military. I think a lot of people at this point have probably got out at their at the end of their enlistments, whether they got their 20 years or not, and probably have injuries. They probably are trying to go to the VA and probably say their injuries are because of such and such a thing, because they know the VA will not approve injuries from the vaccine, the COVID vax, the gene therapy. So this is an issue that's going to have to be dealt with. That's, again, what makes Pete such a perfect pick, because he knows all about the VA. His foundation picked up where the VA couldn't possibly take care of people. So this is a massive, massive thing once this thing starts to unravel. Another thing that, you know, as we talk, as us military people talk, that have been harmed in some way, whether it was physically by the shot injuries or by our careers hurt because we didn't get the vax. So a lot of discussions are out there about how this needs to happen. It's massive. This is certainly going to be the biggest thing in the military's history, the biggest black eye that it's ever committed. Obviously leading to the worst recruiting of probably all time. So it's going to be awkward, to say the least. Very, very awkward. I am so looking forward to this awkwardness. I can't wait. I've been looking forward to it. It's I just want to be injected right into the middle of it and just let the cards fall where they may. I don't care. You know, I have been persecuted enough, so I know the administrative problems, the ins and outs of it, and I think I can help many soldiers, not only the ones that were fired for not getting the shot, but also the ones that were injured as well. And there's all different statuses of being, persecuted, fired, or harmed by not getting the shot. You know, for example, I was fired, lost my full-time job, but they didn't quite dare do an administrative board, which would require outside people to be like jurors in a way to review my case to kick me out. Well, the chain of command didn't dare do that because that's somebody else's opinion that would, drive the rest of my career or not, you know. And they couldn't allow that because they wanted to do the most harm to me. So they couldn't allow an administrative board, which probably I would have won hands down easy. I had a great lawyer. This lawyer that I was talking about earlier, he would have won. He would have beat the chain of command's lawyers hands down, no problem. And he did. He did with some other soldiers do just that in the state of Maine. So anyway, so I existed as a part-time soldier, and then they tried to take my security clearance. So I'm under multiple investigations, but still exist as a soldier. Some were forced out pending on the time of lawsuits. They were actually discharged with general discharges, which is very bad. That hurts you bad. You don't get many benefits with a general discharge. And, pending the timing of lawsuits and then the rescission in January 2023. So some of them came back. A lot of them, most, like 90% or more, chose not to. They pretty much stuck their middle finger up and said, hell no, I'm not going back into that persecution. Then you have some soldiers that weren't pushed out because of where they were at in their religious accommodation packet or their medical exemption packet. And they missed schools, they missed promotions, and they missed awards and other things. So that did them harm. Again, a promotion back, let's say, in 2021, 2022 time frame, times 3-4 years, whatever it's been, is a lot of difference in pay. And that happened to a lot of people. So that's a form of harm. The schools are a form of harm because certain schools allow you to get promoted or whatnot, or to get move into better positions to progress in your career. A lot of people that didn't get the shot, if they weren't fired or given general discharges, have been held back in many ways. These are a lot of statuses that have to be fixed and thought about and dealt with. That's why it's going to take people like me who have kind of experienced a lot of the different process, evil persecuting processes they use to harm us. So this is going to be a big deal. What happened with the DEI, I think I've explained it in previous programs, is the unvaccinated became the center focus of the DEI diversity, equity, inclusion crap that the previous Secretary of Defense, Darth Vader, Lloyd Austin, was attempting to purge patriots. But the shot became his main method. And it's really interesting how that did that. I think there's two lieutenant colonels, one for Space Force. I think his name is Lomer, who has just been made the Undersecretary of the Air Force, which is outstanding. And then I think it's Scheller for the Marines, the lieutenant colonel who spoke out against the botched Afghanistan pullout, and they went right after him. I think he's got him a pretty high position in the Pentagon. So this is great. It's almost like the order of where people were canceled out of the military or persecuted or fired out of the military. You know, all these terms apply. And they're almost being restored in the order they left. So those two guys were some of the first, and they're some of the first to be fixed. And this is great. This is a great orderly way of doing it. And then those guys are in key positions to ensure this never happens again. So this is, I'm so tickled about this. So from a friend here, Lieutenant Bill Mosley, he penned a letter. And so to get back to this, there is some of us that have been so mistreated and we're kind of in a state of anger or a little bitter because of things we've experienced, because we want to see the accountability of how this goes. We don't just want to be reinstated and restored. We want accountability on those who broke the law, okay? And this is like Bill Moseley is saying in this letter. He says, the unspoken truth behind the COVID-19 military mandates. While the recent discussions are about reinstating and providing back pay to service members discharged over COVID-19 vaccine mandate may seem like a step toward justice, they fail to address the full scope of harm and misconduct that occurred within the military ranks. Beyond the loss of careers, the force mandates led to serious physical injuries, deaths, and widespread violations of federal law that remain ignored by military leadership and government officials. These are the issues they aren't talking about, issues that demand accountability and justice. Number one, the acknowledgments of deaths and injuries. Thousands of service members who complied with the COVID-19 vaccine mandate have suffered devastating health consequences, with many paying the ultimate price. Despite being assured of the vaccine's safety, a significant number have experienced severe adverse reactions, permanent disabilities, and even death. Spike in severe health conditions, you know, like myocarditis, pericarditis, unexplained sudden deaths, reports of sudden cardiac arrest, and unexpected deaths. Kind of summarizing here some of his points. Suppression of military health data, the Defense Medical Epidemiological Database, those whistleblowers denied medical care and benefits. Many injured service members have been left without proper medical treatment, and there's a lot. Their conditions downplayed or outright ignored. Those who were discharged due to vaccine-related injuries often struggle to receive VA benefits. Okay. Where is the justice for these men and women who dedicated their lives to service only to be abandoned and left to suffer the consequences of mandate they were coerced into accepting? Number two, violations of federal law and military ethics. This is huge. The enforcement of the vaccine mandate along with related COVID-19 policies led to a widespread breach of constitutional rights, military regulations, federal laws, like a lot. Service members were forced into compliance under duress and with their rights to informed consent, religious freedom, and military privacy repeatedly violated. Unlawful orders. The mandate was imposed without proper legal authority, as the vaccines were initially under EUA, which legally requires voluntary consent under federal law, right? And he lists that law, that statute, 21 USC code, subsection 360BBB-3. Okay, that's the informed consent law. Religious and medical exemption denial. Service members who sought exemptions were overwhelmingly denied, with some facing retaliation and career-ending consequences for standing for their convictions. Coercion tactics. Commanders used intimidation, threats of dishonorable discharge, and loss of benefits to force compliance, violating principle of voluntary consent established in military medical ethics. Okay, I want to add to that. I'm adding this from my own personal corner of the military. Our tag, the Adjutant General, gave everybody that got vaccinated, this is prior to the perceived mandate, everybody that got vaccinated got 5 days off. Okay, so not only did they get the shot and get sick a day, two, or week or two, some in some cases, and it was permissible, and you didn't have to record it like normal, like if you missed 3 days of work, you have to have a doctor's note. Well, that was all overlooked, right? Everybody turned their heads to that if you were sick longer than that after getting the shot. But then you got 5 free days off. So who was still working? The unvaccinated, okay? And then another thing you couldn't do is that summer of 2021, you couldn't travel to certain places that were perceived high COVID threats without the shot. Or you had to burn your typical leave for that time, plus the, I can't remember, it was 14 or 21 days of quarantine. So on top of that, so you pretty much had to burn up all the leave that you had to go visit with if you were going to stay unvaccinated. And so everybody went and got the shot, you know, that travel in the summer of 2021. It was just, so these were some of the tactics that they used. You knew the Adjutant General, the tag as we call it, wanted you to have the shot. So you knew there's no way out. The pressure was immense. And there was other little things like that that they gave you, and preferences that they gave you, you started to become on the bad boy list, and you knew it. Like, I knew I was the senior guy, and it was it's hard being the guy, the top guy. Okay, and getting back to his letter. Violation of privacy. In many cases, service members' medical information was improperly shared within units, leading to public shaming and discrimination, which I obviously experienced. Number three is erosion of military readiness and national security. I mean, that's what we've experienced. We even said this. Most of us said this. He says the enforcement of these mandates severely weaken the military readiness, creating long-term consequences that have yet to be fully addressed. Thousands of experienced, capable personnel discharged, not to million, thousands and millions of dollars of training hours, leaving critical gaps in leadership, technical expertise, and combat readiness. So loss of, I'm going to summarize the rest of his letter because we're kind of getting short on time and I want to read mine. So loss of experienced personnel, recruitment and retention crisis, impact of morale and unit cohesion, operational disruptions, which I am labeling this as the bond of trust was broken. You had backstabbers. You had essentially men in foxholes turn against each other. We've never seen the military turn brother against brother, or brother against sister, sister against sister, quite like we've ever seen, like this time frame. And that's what makes it unique. And this is why Pete Hegseth, we have such big hope for him to help alleviate. I mean, it's such a big issue. I mean, I have my doubts about fixing this, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible, especially if you get key players in there to help. And I certainly feel like I'm one of them, at least in a certain corner of the military. I can help Pete Hegseth deal with this issue. Paragraph 4, he says suppression of whistleblowers and dissent. We know all about that. You have the retaliation against whistleblowers, gag orders and intimidation, suppression of independent medical opinions, right? Paragraph 5 for him, he deals with the coercive COVID-19 policies beyond the vaccine, right? You know, and then the punishment for noncompliance, segregation, discrimination, invasive testing requirements, which were EUA, isolation and psychological strain. And then number 6, the financial corruption and conflicts of interest. The military's handling of the COVID-19 vaccine mandate revealed deep financial entanglements between the DOD and pharmaceutical companies. Yes. Unaccountable spending, conflicts of interest, false narratives, and compliance. Paragraph 7, the lies behind the vaccine approval and the bait-and-switch tactics. And, you know, he goes on and he lists the law. Outstanding. Nice job, Bill. And that's Lieutenant Bill Mosley for the U.S. Navy, retired. And he's one of the whistleblowers that you're going to see in the picture that I put along with this whistleblower report. Is Lieutenant Bill Mosley. Is Lieutenant Ted Macy. He's one of the DMED whistleblowers. And then the guy that's going to be in the suit is Lieutenant Mark Bashaw from the Army. He's one of the DMED whistleblowers. And then in the Army dress blues is me. Okay? So there's 4 military whistleblowers that we all got to... We all united at a funeral. An unfortunate event, but nonetheless, it was good to meet up and finally see each other in person. And so I want to end this program this way. I wrote Pete Hegseth a letter, personal letter. I sent it certified mail. It should be waiting on his Secretary of Defense desk as long as it's not sabotaged. I've read his book, The War on Warriors. I've studied the man. I only found out about him in November, right before Trump picked him as his Secretary of Defense pick. So I deeply studied. He's going to be our leader. Then I went into studying this man like any good military officer should do, just like I did with the whole COVID fiasco. I was, as an officer, I'm held to a higher standard to learn, research, and be prepared to give my subordinates the proper information. So likewise, I've studied Pete. And this is what I say to Pete. I pray this letter finds its way into your hands. I felt deeply compelled to write, not only as a fellow soldier, but as someone who, like you, has walked the path of sacrifice, service, and the challenges of remaining steadfast in faith and principle amidst adversity. I have been persecuted for 3 years under the past military leadership. First, by a fraudulent 15-6 investigation without due process. And second, I've been under a 2-year security clearance investigation for being a domestic extremist. The 15-6 took my AGR career away in the National Guard. Then they sought to remove me completely with security clearance investigation instead of convening an administrative board, where there would have been impartial board members. I escaped to the Army Reserves, where I currently exist as a traditional weekend soldier. I had a perfect career until 2021. Most of my officer time was either as a commander or a deputy commander. I have nearly 27 total years, with 17 being full-time. I had everything to lose when the unlawful, and like Pete Hegseth says, experimental COVID-19 shot mandate became the regime's loyalty test. I first became aware of your journey in early November 2024 when President Trump chose you. I immediately bought your book. As I read it, I felt as though I was reading my own biography. There is no doubt in my mind that you are not only Trump's choice, but the Lord's as well. For the first time in years, I feel a sense of redemption, restoration for our military is possible. My soul is at peace knowing this. Your leadership as Secretary of Defense will be a breath of fresh air for those of us who have borne the burden of a corrupted system that too often sacrifices principles for politics. We are the same age, the same rank, and respected by our enlisted subordinates. We share a common bond, forged in combat, tested on the front lines, and sadly, both of us unfairly branded as extremists for standing firm in our beliefs. It's not just our shared military experience, it's the shared sense of purpose, moral injuries, and unshakable faith that unite us. I watched your Senate confirmation hearing with great anticipation. As you answered each question, I could feel the presence of God's Holy Spirit within you. Your words were filled with convictions and sincerity, a powerful testament to the values we have fought to uphold. Your words were my words, and so many other warriors' words as well. That moment reaffirmed my belief that you are precisely the leader our military needs at this critical juncture. A divine appointment in the history of America. As you know, standing up for what's right often comes with a cost. When I submitted my religious accommodation request, December 2020, maybe first in the nation to do so, to exempt me from the COVID-19 shot mandate, I did so with full faith in the Constitution I swore to defend. Instead, I was met with retaliation, fabricated accusations, and character attacks. Leadership didn't stop at questioning my decisions. They sought to discredit my integrity. Minor unrelated details like a coffee mug with a 1776 Roman numeral 3 sticker and my private conversations were weaponized against me. They claim my removal wasn't due to the experimental COVID-19 shot, yet my general officer memorandum of reprimand clearly states otherwise. As a senior unvaccinated AGR officer in the Maine Army National Guard, I was made an example. Their actions to purge the unvaccinated were deliberate and calculated. Losing my AGR position wasn't just a professional setback, it's been a financial hardship for my family over the past 3 years. We've had to downsize significantly, and my wife, Jessica, and our children have borne sacrifices that weigh heavily on me. Like your wife, Jennifer, who has been your rock, Jessica has been mine. At times, my faith has been tested to its limits, and I've drawn strength from the story of Joseph in the Bible. Just as he endured betrayal and hardship, I believe God is using this period of testing to shape a greater purpose. Your vision for restoring the military, prioritizing readiness, discipline, and foundational values that make our armed forces exceptional, gives me hope. My son, 16 years old, dreams of serving in the military one day, and knowing that leaders like you are at the helm assures me that his life will not be misused and that his service will be valued. That peace of mind is priceless, and I thank you for it. As a father, I will not allow him to be experimented on with experimental shots. My war, which Pete's going to know this, this is from his book, my war now is stopping gain-of-function bioweapons in experimental shots. In 2021, I was the deputy commander and the most knowledgeable Seaburn hazmat responder in the Maine Army National Guard's 11th Weapons of Mass Destruction Civil Support Team. I have supported numerous national special security events like the 2017 inauguration of President Trump. I always believed that COVID was a gain-of-function bioweapon and the shot was the worst form of it, per the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. These were forbidden thoughts or ideas were not tolerated. Unlike years past, my expert opinion mattered and helped shape successful missions. The Maine Army National Guard essentially fired their top biological weapons expert. Congress has finally confirmed COVID most likely came from a lab. Duh. Pete, thank you for challenging the broken system that have harmed so many of us. Your efforts to reduce bureaucracy, ensure accountability, and promote faith-based leadership are exactly what our military needs. I stand with you, not just as a supporter, but as a brother in arms who has endured many of the same battles. Your courage inspires me to keep pressing forward, to believe in our mission, and to trust that leaders like you will restore faith in our military's future. It may be out of line to ask, but knowing from your book how fond you are of General Joshua Chamberlain from Maine, I must mention something. In June 2022, I was selected for promotion to Lieutenant Colonel and was ready to take on a LTC position. However, because of unlawful shot mandate, I was removed before that could happen. Pete, would you consider pinning me as a Lieutenant Colonel at Camp Chamberlain, Augusta, Maine? I am grateful for your example, your vision, and your unwavering dedication to the men and women who serve. Thank you for championing the values that make this nation great. Sincerely, Major Mike Gary. And I included a picture of my family, my four children, and my wife. And that should be waiting on his desk. So I look forward to the recent developments and whatever is going to happen. I just want to thank all the listeners out there from the bottom of my heart supporting me. Dr. Vliet supporting the military so strong. And finally, we're at a place of possible redemption and fixing this catastrophic thing that has occurred to the military. It will go down as the worst period in the military's history, no doubt. So I just want to thank the generous donations that have come in from all you listeners. We thank you so much. We just say go check out our website, go check out our store at that's www.truthforhealth.org. Check out our COVID vaccine injury, go check out our faith over fear programs, go check out our petitions that we currently have going in support of RFK Kash Patel. This is Mike Gary signing off.
Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts. Donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this with all that is assaulting our way of life. Join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out, get loud, get involved. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.